Well, good morning and greetings to each one of you in our precious Savior's name. And it is a blessing to be together as we begin this Lord's Day around His Word and in song and in prayer. For our first reading, let's go to Zechariah. It's the second to last book of the Old Testament. Okay, the book of Zechariah, and that should bring back some memories of our studies in the past as we've gone through the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, the book of Zechariah is the second to the end of the Old Testament, but Zechariah was a prophet that went to encourage those who were rebuilding the temple. And as we think about this, just to get some advice from Zechariah on his thoughts about even building the temple, building our own spiritual temple. And let's turn to chapter 4 and just read a few verses out of this. And as remember, Zerubbabel had gone back to build the temple, and then they ran into some opposition, and the work stopped for 15 years. And here comes Haggai and Zechariah to encourage them. And I love these words as we start this morning and settle in. Zechariah chapter 4, and let's start at verse 6 and just read a few verses here. Zechariah 4:6. Then he answered and spake unto me, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou hast become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? They shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with the seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these things be? And I said, No, my Lord. And then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. So again, as we look at this, I think just a call to remembrance. You know, verse 9, it says, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of the temple, and his hands shall finish it. And that's the encouragement that Zechariah gave. And yet, and then the beautiful words of verse 6, and again, you've seen them, we've heard them, but just to be remembered, it's not by might nor by power, but by the Lord's Spirit. I mean, and that is such a great verse, you know, related not only to the building of the temple, and obviously the building of the temple is important, and the Spirit of the Lord is important there to finish that, but also in our own lives, you know, just the Spirit of the Lord working in our hearts. Let's sing a hymn together. Let's sing out of the Zion's harp. Let's sing hymn number 166, the morning hymn. Let's kneel and pray together. Father, it is a good morning when it is begun with thee, and Father, we're thankful that we can begin our morning collectively together, corporately, as a church, and to turn our gaze upon Thee, Lord, even in this morning, and to look up to Thee, and to ask Thee for Thy help and Thy grace to and mercy in the time of need. So, Father, we do approach Thy throne and ask Thee for grace and mercy. And, Lord, as we approach Thy throne, it humbles us, even as we reminded of how when Isaiah was approached by Thee, Lord, that he said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the Lord. And so, God, as we look to Thee, we do realize our frailties. We realize our weakness and sin. And so, Lord, we just confess that and ask Thee for Thy forgiveness and for Thy direction and Thy guidance even in this day. And, Lord, as we look to Thee, we want to praise Thee. We want to thank Thee for being a merciful God, a God of truth, a God without iniquity, a God that's just and right, and a God that's all-knowing, all-hearing, all-seeing, all-caring. Father, thanks for caring for us. God, we are to cast all our cares upon Thee because Thou dost care for us, and we're thankful for that. And Lord, Thou dost know the intents of our heart, and so, Lord, we come openly before Thee, asking Thee for Thy Spirit to guide and direct us in this day. And so, Lord, we as we look to Thy Word, we're so thankful, and we implore Thy Spirit to be in our midst. We know that Thou art here, Holy Spirit. We just ask Thee to be strong, that we would not frustrate or quench or stifle Thee today, but Thou wouldst be strong on our behalf for each one here. Lord, none of us are exempt. Lord, that Thou dost see us all and understand each one of us individually, and that's an amazing thing. Lord, that Thou dost know our thoughts even right now. Wow. Thou dost know the intents of our heart. Father, Thou dost know what we're thinking about. And so, Father, we want to turn our thoughts to Thee. We want to turn our affections to Thee. We want to acknowledge Thee as the one who has come and given Jesus, and that Jesus is our brother and our Lord and our Savior. And so we thank Thee for that. And then as we walk, we ask for Thy guidance, Holy Spirit, that we would understand the way that we should walk. And Father, we want to lift up those, even those that have requested prayer. We think of Bill and Brandy and Stan and Andrea and their little baby. And we know that there are other requests, many requests, even in our midst here, Lord, that there are burdens, and we're told in Galatians 6 to bear one another's burdens. And Lord, we want to lift those burdens up to Thee in prayer. We want to commit them to Thee, Lord. So bless our time this morning, and we love Thee, and we want to proclaim Thee. We thank Thee for the opportunity, even next Sunday, to go to the women's prison and proclaim Jesus. What a privilege. So, Lord, go before us there and prepare the way and prepare the message even right now in the hearts of thy children. Prepare the message that we may share it then at the prison through song and prayer and even a word of testimony and a word of scripture. Lord, that Thou wouldst bless our time. And Lord, that Thy kingdom would come, that Thy kingdom would grow and be advanced, that hearts would be turned to Thee, that Thy will be done, and Lord, that Thou wouldst receive the glory. So we bless Thee, bless our time, in Jesus' name, amen. For a New Testament reading, let's go to Galatians. Your Bible should open to Galatians now, since we've been there for a few weeks. And I think I can say that this for each one of us. I think we've kind of fallen in love with the book of Galatians. You know, again, as I look back, we'll just reference a couple of them. We think of the book of Ezra. I love the book of Ezra. You know, what a great adventure. You know, we think of the book of Nehemiah. We've fallen in love with Nehemiah. Now we change to Galatians, at least for the last several weeks, and we've fallen in love with the book of Galatians. You know, why? And I say, why? Why do we like Galatians? Or why should we like Galatians? At least from my perspective, it's life-changing. The book of Galatians is life-changing. As we remember the truths, as we think about the truths, the book of Galatians is life-changing. And I heard the comment this week. The comment is that sometimes we have open minds and our Bibles are open, right? But sometimes we have closed minds and our Bibles are closed. I heard that, I thought, that's really a good picture. What do we want to do today? Whatever we want to do. That's exactly right. You do whatever you want to do. But what would God like? I think God would like us to open our minds to His Word and to open the book. And that's exactly what we're doing. But and sometimes we don't have the intensity that we're supposed to. I mean, case in point, Thursday night, when Morgan and Kyra came up and shared their testimony, I just slipped in with the kids and just sat and kind of, I was doing exactly what Morgan's doing now. God bless you, Morgan. I love it. It's hard. And when they were done, on the way home, I said, what did they say? What did they really say? Didn't hear a thing. My mind was pretty open, but I was kind of busy. You know, but I think it's an attitude, isn't it? I mean, we can be busy with kids, but boy, we just, you know, we want our minds to be open. And so anyway, I encourage each one of us, you know, let's open our minds, let's open the Bible, because it is life-changing. I'm flat out telling you, Galatians is life-changing. I need my life changed. And I think some of you out there also. So this is our last adventure through the book of Galatians. And we're going to do a quick outline and then we're going to end it. We're going to end the book of Galatians today. Done. But, wow, I hope we don't forget it. I hope we don't forget the teaching of the book of Galatians. How does it start out? Just go to chapter 1 and just look at it. We're going to quickly go through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then we'll jump into 6 and we'll get rolling. I think, and we've had different brothers summarize it in different ways. This is how I like to summarize it. Well, look at verse 1 of chapter 1. What's the first word? Okay. And how far is this little testimony go? It goes to 2:14. Okay? Paul. And he says, you know, and you look, just glance through Scripture and look at the word eyes in there. Look at verse 6, I. And then look at verse 9, I. Look at verse 10, I. I mean, he's telling his testimony. It's Paul's walk. He's sharing his testimony. And we think about that. And that was a great story. You know, Paul's story, he tells us a story. And I love that story because he builds credibility. He builds credibility with himself. He builds credibility with the church. He builds credibility with me. I think, Paul, thanks. Thanks for going to Jerusalem. Thanks for pulling this all together. I, Paul. This is what I did. I went to Jerusalem. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. I went to Jerusalem. You know, and you look at this, and it's just Paul's walk. And it continued. Look at verse 14. And when I saw that they walk not, you know, it Paul just shared, and then it changes. So first it's Paul's walk. Then what walk is it? How would you summarize maybe 2:15 to the end of chapter 3? If you'd say something's walk, what word would you put in there? Paul's walk. The next it is whose walk or what walk? Not who's it's not who, it's not a person. But it's a walk. What walk? The walk of, don't look at me, look at the text. You'll find it. No, you can look at me. That's fine. It's fine. Good to see you this morning, Cutler. He's looking at me, aren't you, Cutler? We love the Bible. We love to read the Bible. The walk of. And this is how we walk. We walk by faith. You know, it's not by the law. It's a walk of faith. And that, what a beautiful walk. You know, we walk by faith. And look at 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of and in Jesus Christ. Even we've believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ. Not by the works of the law, but by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. What a tremendous verse. 2:20. Let's don't forget these verses. We can. What's the best way to remember them? You tell me. I mean, I know what my best way to remember them is. You tell me your best way to remember them. I mean, we're encouraged to do that. Look at 2:20. Quick, let's get going. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. You know, we live by faith, not by sight. We can. That's a challenge. And I love. Look at 3:11. We love this verse, that no flesh is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. That's the theme of Habakkuk. That's a great theme. I wish we could talk about Habakkuk right now, but we don't have time. The just shall live by faith. You look at life and it doesn't make sense. Remember Habakkuk? We fell in love with Habakkuk. Habakkuk was so awesome. You know, Habakkuk says, how can you do this, God? How can you have an evil people come in and crush us? We're not as bad as they are. That does not make any sense. God says, you go up to watchtower and the just shall live by faith. You live by faith. So this is a walk of faith. And it's a justification by faith. It's a walk and a justification. We're justified by faith. What a great bunch of teaching. And then look at 3:26. We're almost done with the first three chapters. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And now we're part of the family. Then it goes in, and then it changes in a sense. And I'm going to, okay, first is Paul's walk. Then it's the faith walk. Now walk, our walk in the Spirit. Our walk in the Spirit. And that is revolutionary in the sense of life-changing. And it starts, in chapter 4 and 5 and 6, is the walk of the Spirit. Let's look at 4:6. Remember that verse? And because you're sons, now, you know, we're part of God's family. We love that. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, and we cry, Daddy, Abba, Father, we love it. And we remember talking about, I mean, it just warms my heart to think of me as a child calling to Daddy, calling to my Father. It warms my heart. I like to do that. And I think of, you know, times where, and remember what I shared? You're laying in bed and you hear that voice down the hall, Daddy. I mean, it's so special. Daddy. Remember what I said last time? It just comes. I'm cold. Pull up the covers. Daddy. I'm hot. Kick off the covers. What a fun relationship. I mean, just that relationship with the little ones. They call Daddy and we can call her Father. What a privilege. So it's Paul's walk, faith walk, and then the walk in the Spirit. And I love the walk in the Spirit. Look at 5:16. That's what Brother Ken shared on last time. I tried to listen to that message, and I went online, and it was nothing there. I thought, did you guys have church last Sunday morning? It wasn't there. The only thing was there was the afternoon. I just could not figure that out because I wanted to hear what Ken said. I don't know what he said because he said the lights were off and the power is off for you that weren't here. So, but look at 5:16. What a beautiful verse. This I say then. Look at 16. This I say. Walk. And you walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of flesh. Walk in the Spirit. What does walk mean to you? To me, it means communicate. Walk in the Spirit. Communicate the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. Talk to the Spirit. Okay, let's finish with verse 25. Where then we'll be done with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And we'll roll on to 6. And then because at the end, Paul concludes. There's a conclusion at the end of verse 6. And that's where we want to end. We want to end at chapter 6 at the conclusion. And Paul concludes. And it's a beautiful conclusion. Okay, 25, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Well, I didn't know what that meant, really. I mean, to me, that didn't communicate to me. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It just was kind of words. Just did not sink in. So I looked for a different way to say it. Can I say it this way? And I'm real tempted to teach this to you so you would not forget it. Okay? This is 5:25. And this is what I'll say. It's a different translation. If we are living now by the Holy Spirit's power, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our life. Okay, I just said it. Say it again. If. What's the first word? If. Okay? Now that's a good way to start. If. Okay. If this happens. Or if something else happens. If we. If we, okay? If we are living now, okay? If we are living now by the Holy Spirit's power. If we are living now by the Holy Spirit's power, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading, okay? Let's start over. If we, I like the word now, and power, just because it has an O-W. If we are now living by the Holy Spirit's power, I feel like I'm in Sunday school. Forgive me for doing this, but it's so important. I'm just telling you, it is so important. If we are now living by the Holy Spirit's power, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our life. If we are walking now by the Holy Spirit's power, and we are, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our life. Just to be connected with the Holy Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to communicate with the Spirit. I just love that. Now, how can this be possible? Or what should we do? If we are living now by the Holy Spirit's power, let's follow the Holy Spirit's lead in every part of life. The Holy Spirit wants to direct us today. Do you believe that? Do you believe the Holy Spirit wants to direct you today? Do you think the Holy Spirit may have different plans for you today than maybe? Yeah, I don't know what you're planning today. I don't know what you're thinking, but the Holy Spirit may direct you in a different way. We see that through the book of Acts. Oh, we fell in love with the book of Acts, didn't we? Remember how the Holy Spirit would direct people and direct things and situations? The Holy Spirit would direct Philip. So, Philip, why don't you do this? The Holy Spirit directed Paul. Paul, why don't you do this? And he did it. And the Holy Spirit wants to direct us today. Now, let's read chapter 6 and see how the Holy Spirit can direct us. There's 18 verses, but let's look at it. Because there's some awesome, awesome truths in here. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, this is the Holy Spirit's desire for us. This is fulfilling the law of Christ. This is fulfilling the law of love. This is walking in the spirit of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. This is what this means. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. See how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand? As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that we should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Wow. And as many as walk according to this teaching and this rule, peace be on them in mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a beautiful conclusion, the last verse. Brethren, brothers and sisters, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Okay, let's keep open minds, let's keep open Bibles, let's look and see what this is teaching. Now, there's 18 verses, but I'm guarantee you they'll change your life. If we're living now by the Holy Spirit's power, let's follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our life. And the Holy Spirit is that small, still voice that might say, why don't you go talk to this person? Why don't you go sit with this person? Why don't you go over here? Do this, do that. The Holy Spirit will do that. And what is some of the things? I mean, some of it's spelled out here, what we should do. Let's look at verse 1. If a man be overtaken in a fault, it's a kind of a fascinating thing, that word fault. If a man be overtaken in a fault, and it's a little bit like running, you're running the race in the Christian life, and you get tripped and you fall down. It's not like a continual sin. At least this passage is not alluding to that. It's not something that keeps coming up. Your brother. Now think about your brother, and your brother's running, your brother trips, and your brother falls. It's a little bit like you see the car along the side of the road and you see the hood up and you drive by and you say, oh, that silly brother. Why didn't they fill their car up with gas? You know, or you see somebody along the side of the road, and you may have that. Why didn't they service their car? You know, sometimes you can get these thoughts. That was almost Edie and I coming home from Columbus rotation last week. You drive in Ohio, there's nothing in certain parts of Ohio. I mean, you can drive for 50 miles, there's nothing. Anyway, our gas was getting low. It was getting a little low, and I checked the app, you know, Gas Buddy. Because, you know, I mean, if you save 20 cents a gallon, it's decent. Some people don't mind, but I kind of watch my 20 cents times, you know, fill up, times 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 fill up. So I was looking at Gas Buddy. I said, oh, just ahead there's a gas station. We'll get it there. It took us a different way. So we were, you know, the light comes on. You know, 40 miles till you're dead. Drive along, you know. I almost was along the side of the road. I was almost dead on the side of the road with no gas. That's what it is. If one of us get overtaken in a fault and we're along the side of the road, this is it. You know, we trip and we fall. Something overtakes us and we trip and we fall. What should we do? You, which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. There are so many facets to that verse. First, if somebody trips up, now, brothers and sisters, do some of us trip up sometimes? Do we? I think we do. What do we want? What does God want? What does the Spirit want? If somebody be overtaken and gets caught and is along the side of the road, you are spiritual. Now, that doesn't mean some spiritual giant. That means somebody that's walking in the Spirit. If we are living now by the Holy Spirit's power, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our life. The Holy Spirit will lead us maybe to that situation. The Holy Spirit will take us there. And we'll say, we're ready. We'll help. We can help. You, which are spiritual, that means you're spiritual-minded. That means walking in the Spirit. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Daniel Belier, that restore verse is really hard. I'm just thinking of restore, and I'm just feeling pain right now for Daniel. And I'll tell you what I mean. That word, to restore, okay? Let's look at it in context. If a man be tripped up, or let's say Daniel's laying on the side of the basketball court. What happened to Daniel? If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. What does that mean? What does it mean to restore? That means put his shoulder back in place. I don't even like to say it. His shoulder would come out, and it would be agonizing. And Daniel would be going, oh, you know, just be, oh. He'd turn green, he'd turn yellow, he'd turn all sorts of colors. And it would just be so painful. And you have to relax to get that shoulder back in. And it was, I mean, a couple times, we took him to the hospital, finally got some medicine to relax, and went back in. I mean, it just restore it, put it back in. I mean, Daniel, do you want to walk around the rest of your life with that shoulder out? Are you kidding me? Restore such a one. You at your spiritual, restore such a one. I think of my nephew Andy. We were playing this ball game or something. I don't know, when we had a get together, and he threw his arm out, and and he was screaming. You know, he was biting the bullet. You know, because it was painful. And you know, and my brother was a pediatrician, was pulling on that shoulder, and it was so painful. You got to pull it, and you got to loosen things up and get it, pop it back in, restore it. That's what that means. Some of us need that restoring. Let's do the car analogy. Let's do the shoulder analogy. You know, restore that. Get that back into place. We so need that. You talk to Daniel about that. I could say more, but I think that's enough. Restore. It also means like to put a bone back in place. I mean, could you imagine? You got a broken leg and just leave it like that? Or you got a dislocated ankle? You ever dislocated a finger or an ankle? I remember playing basketball in the gym and my finger was dislocated, and I went up to Matt Ackerman and I said, I thought, man, a pig doctor could fix this. I said, put my finger, can you put my finger back in place? Because this little finger was out, just sticking this crazy way. I said, can you put it back? He looked at it and I go, maybe you ought to leave it alone. You know, but I wanted that back in place. He could have done it. After I watched the doctor do it, I could have done it. You know, he just kind of pulled it up, popped it right back in. If I'd have seen that, if I'd have known, I would have done it myself. I'd have let Matt do it. Go ahead, Matt. Oh, thanks. I mean, I would still be walking around with my finger out of joint. So, I mean, think about that. I love that teaching. Listen to it. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, walking in the Spirit, restore such one in the spirit of meekness. We got to talk about meekness. Mm-hmm. That is so, that's such a beautiful word. Because, you know, you look, just look a few verses, you know, back up into 5:23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, meekness. It's there's several definitions. I still like the definition power under control. Let's say you've got, Jackson is let's just use Jackson as an example. You know, Jackson's got a fault. So I'm going to come to Jackson. If I don't have the spirit of meekness, you know what I'll do? I'll say, Jackson, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? Come on, you can't be doing that. You can't be running out of gas. You can't be dislocating your shoulder. He doesn't need that. It's, think of power under control. I mean, we could have the power of doing that, couldn't we? But that's not right. It's in the spirit of gentleness. We go to him in the spirit of gentleness. And you look at that word, I thought, meekness. Well, where else does it say meekness in the New Testament? Well, think about if somebody asks you the reason of the hope that is in you. Huh? Somebody's going to ask you the reason of hope that is in you? You reply with meekness. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? Reply with meekness. Somebody asks you the reason of hope. Let me give you one other beautiful verse in that thing with meekness in it. I don't know if I can get it started. Come on. Can't get it started. I can't. It's 2 Timothy. Maybe we should turn to it. 2 Timothy. It's really a beautiful, beautiful verse that's got meekness in it. And I think it's a great one. Let's relate it to Jackson. I'm picking on Jackson because I like Jackson. I have no guess that he's just fallen off the cliff, you know. That his shoulders out of joint, you know, because he's a godly man. Okay, verse 24. I mean, this is so good. 2 Timothy 2:24. Listen to this and remember it. And the servant of the Lord, that's you and I, must not strive. I mean, you know, I could strive against Jackson. No. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness. See that word? In gentleness, in patience, in humility, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If Jackson's opposing himself, you instruct him meekly. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Isn't that a powerful verse? In meekness. I mean, and we think about approaching our children. Anyway, what a great teaching. If we're walking now by the Holy Spirit's power, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our life. If a brother has a fault, let's restore them by God's grace, by the leading of the Spirit. Verse 2, and we got a roll here, guys. Verse 2, bear ye one another burden. You know, a burden is a heavy load. A burden is what somebody's carrying. It says, would you help them? Would you bear their burden? And I love what Brother Chuck sent out, a link. And this link said this, and I like that. Let's say somebody's carrying, and you feel a burden. You're carrying 80 pounds on your back. I mean, 80 pounds is a lot. You're carrying 80 pounds. And if you bear that, you bear that burden, Ken's going to come along beside. He said, let me take 40 of that. Okay, let's share it. You take 40, I'll take 40. 40's not too bad. Then another brother comes along and says, hey, let me help too. Let's divide this up. And another brother, you know, to bear one another's burdens. And you know, this is a powerful story. And let me tell you this, just quickly. My oldest brother has cancer, a brain tumor, and he had surgery. And it's a difficult time. It's a time of suffering. And then my little baby brother Jim, LBJ, little baby Jim, sweet little baby. He's grown up. But anyway, as we get together, my little brother Jim says, you know, he says, Steve and Pam, we want to enter into the fellowship of this suffering with you. And I thought, that is powerful. We want to enter into the fellowship of the suffering with you in this. And I think that's kind of what Paul's saying here in verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, which is the law of love. Shoulder those burdens. The Holy Spirit will direct you to somebody today, and maybe you can help them shoulder that burden. Maybe you can help them restore a brother. Okay, what's next? And we could say more. Verse 6, it talks about those that teach the word. How to interact with them, and that's about all I'm going to say. And then he concludes, and let's conclude with Paul's conclusion. Verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You know, it's really interesting. God will not be mocked. Don't be deceived. You know what that means? See this? This is my nose. It means don't turn your nose up at God. It says don't. The Greek means don't turn your nose up. Don't act like God won't see. Don't act like God doesn't know. Don't act like you can get away with this. You cannot. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You know what corruption is? Oh, man. It's taking that lid off the applesauce jar and lifting it up, and it's green. Not from green apples, but from deterioration. I mean, don't you love green? Don't you love rotten food? Huh. It's the curdled milk. You pour it out in your cereal, you take a bite, and it's just so bad. That's what it means. You know, don't turn your nose up at God and say, God won't know. God doesn't see. God is not going to be mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to get rotten milk. Rotten whatever, meat. When you see that meat in the refrigerator tomorrow and you're going to throw it away, or you see that cheese. The cheese was supposed to be yellow and it's now a different color. That's corruption. That's what it means. It's corruption. Hey, it's going to happen. If you sow to the flesh, it's going to happen. It's true agriculturally, isn't it? I sowed milkweed seeds in I had a square about this much, just like out in our garden, just like this pulpit, just right here. I thought, plant seeds in there. I thought, good. I'm going to have milkweed, and it's just be a sweet little package right in here. I'm sowing milkweeds. It grew here, and pretty soon it grew out in the beans and out in the tomatoes and, you know, over here. It was growing all over. I mean, you reap what you sow. I put bamboo out. A friend of me gave me some bamboo, and she said, plant this. You'll love it. I planted bamboo, and it was in a little spot. Pretty soon it was over here. It was over here. It's taken over everything. Roundup, get rid of that stuff. I mean, what you sow, you're going to reap. It's agriculturally, it's true. You sow corn, you're going to get corn. You sow to the flesh, it's going to be rotten. The result is going to be rotten decay. And don't be deceived. Don't turn your nose up at God and say, you know, God won't see this. God will. And God will judge. And that'll, you know, that principle will change your life and change my life. Wow, we're almost done here. The conclusion. How can we conclude? Verse 14. Let's quickly hit a couple verses and we'll be done. Verse 14. I am watching the clock. And you're hoping I'm watching it, but I'm not. Like, okay, 14. But God forbid that I should glory. Hey, we don't want to glory. We don't want to glory. Save the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Isn't that a great verse? We're crucified to the world. We should be dead to the world. And what should we be? Look at verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, circumcision's not it. It's not Christ plus five, remember? It's not circumcision. That's not the answer. Nor uncircumcision. It's not the answer. But it's the new creation. My son-in-law and I read this scripture together yesterday, and I said, Lon, read chapter 6 and tell me your favorite verse out of here. How can you pick a favorite verse? I mean, we've covered, 12 powerful verses. Say the whole chapter. They're all good. But he said, I really like 15. And in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Doesn't matter, but the new creature. The new creation. That's what God wants. That's what the Spirit wants to be about. And let's walk according to this rule. And then let's end with verse 18. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. How did Paul start out? Go back to Galatians 1, verse 2, verse 3. Sorry. Galatians 1:3, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wants them to have grace. What does grace do? Well, grace gives us the victory. Wow. Let's end with the last verse, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. 7 and 8. Look at it. 2 Corinthians 9, 6, 7, and 8. And we read these recently here at church. But just in finishing, look at this. Verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Look at verse 8 now. Pay real close attention. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. He is. God is totally able to make all grace abound toward you, toward me, toward each one of us. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, is Paul forgetting anything? No. That ye have always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Wow, what a great promise. God's grace.
I was thinking about how we could end this morning and this walk through Galatians to the glory of God. And I would ask you to consider what Paul wrote to the church, these churches in Galatia, and that you would apply it to your heart and to your life. So think about the Holy Spirit. Think about Jesus Christ being alive and living in you and I today. We heard about walking in the Spirit today. The book of Galatians was written because you and I have two natures within us. We have our flesh and we have His Spirit. We have what we've been called to by Christ, through Christ. So this Holy Spirit is alive in you and I today. And you and I can go to the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit, or we can trust in the flesh. And that's what Paul wrote to them about. Stop relying on yourself. Don't go back and hold on to what you think you control. But Paul said, let go of it and go to the Holy Spirit. Go to me. Let me run your life. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. So we study the book of Galatians so that we can be changed, so that we can be Christ-like. And that's what helps us when we see our brother fall, not be judgmental, but we love them and we care for them and we do what we should do. So flush it all out. Flush it all out and ask yourself this morning, have I relied on the Spirit in my life? Am I relying on the Spirit in my life? And if not, just come to Him and seek Him. Because it's just the truth. We're just preachers trying to communicate the Word of God. And the best news for me is that it is alive and the Spirit will speak to you if you want to hear it. So please. And now I had a hymn all picked out. I just shut the book. Uncle Bob used to call this a chorus in Francisville, but it's in the combined hymnal, and it's 578. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sing that song, think about the words, and invite Him into your heart. And I'd say, what do you think, Morgan? Twice enough? Three times enough? Twice. Rebecca knows it. All right.
Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the word that we had, not just today, but also for the past 6 weeks as we've looked at this precious letter written by Paul, both to the church in Galatia, Lord, but also for us. Father, we thank You for the ways it has convicted us, or the ways it has shown us our own fleshly tendencies, Lord, to want to, Lord, though we admit our need for You, Lord, to also stand on our own. Father, to raise something other than the one and complete truth of You, Lord, Your victory in the cross. Father, help us not, as Brother Ron said, Lord, not to walk away and forget what we have seen, Lord, how we have been reminded, how we've been convicted. Father, and truly help us to take up the call that Paul gave in this final chapter, Lord, that we would, Lord, not just leave it at beautiful theology, Lord, as wonderful and pure and redemptive as that is, Father, but that it leads to an ethic, Father, that we would walk away from this chapter, Lord, living our life differently because we've read it, because your Spirit has moved. Lord, help us to stand together, Lord, to walk with one another, Lord, that not that we would live our lives so separately that we wouldn't know when our brothers or our sisters are suffering, Lord, when they are needing restoration, Lord, when they have burdens that need to be lifted, or when they themselves need lifting, Lord. Father, help us truly to seek to take this truth, to have our lives changed by it, Lord, by your Spirit. So go with us now, Lord, as we seek to live in this beautiful truth. Father, bless this time of fellowship that we have, that we may be the church, Lord, that we can be growing in these relationships. Father, bless the food that we have together, that it can be nourishing us for this beautiful work. Lord, bless those who have prepared it, and just go with us now, we pray. And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.